Hi, this is Michael Felgate. If you missed Racing Pulse, stay tuned now because here are some of the highlights.
Tavasan just in front. The Inevitable moves up on the outside from Oak Door. Then Deprived dug up behind them from Spirit of Valor. And then Band of Purr. The Inevitable has looped them and gone to the front. From Oak Door, Spirit of Valor, Deprived and Tavasan. The Inevitable, 100 metres to go. Let's down. Two links, three links in front. This has been dominant. What a win. The Inevitable, second Deprived.
Oh, it was simply awesome. The Inevitable, how arrogant was that, taking his career record to 7 wins from 9 starts, absolutely obliterating them at the Valley. And it's always great to have a chat to Scotty Brunton, who's been making RSN 927 his second home in recent days. And it's good to have him back on the airways. How are you, Scott?
Yeah, good, Michael. How are you, mate? Yeah, really good.
Very, very good. Were you surprised, shocked at the ease and dominance of his win on Saturday?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it was a big shock to me because I was a little bit worried just probably the last sort of 4 or 5 hours before his race. He sort of just started to turn a little bit and was a little bit aggro. But the way he did it and the ease he done it with was just incredible. Yeah, I haven't been able to stop thinking about him since. So, yeah, it's very exciting for me.
You mentioned that post-race with Richo on .com. What was it that was really concerning you? Because you said that you thought, oh, he had no hope the way he was looking. What was the issue?
Yeah, look, he sort of just tucked up a little bit. He'd gone for a couple of pisses a couple of times and he just sort of looked like he was a little bit dejected and a little bit angry there at the races. But goes to show that the good horses will cover up little problems, won't it?
Well, how's he pulled up then from that run?
Look, he seemed to really good on the Sunday. He's very light and sort of took it out of him a bit. So he had a good pick of grass and then got on the boat yesterday afternoon and he's arriving home to us at about 1 o'clock today. So I'll know more after that.
What did Craig Williams have to say after he got off the horse? Willow knows a good horse and he knows a very good horse. What type of rap did he give you on the Inevitable?
Yeah, he gave us a really good lead on him. That he just said, wow. Yeah, he thought, wow. He thought it was just incredible. So, look, we're very excited and very, very honoured to have him in the stable and we're just hoping that he can reach the height that maybe looks like he can, you know. So we're hoping everything goes well and we've got no solid plans with him. He won't be going to the Rupert Clark.
Okay.
He'll be staying home. The likelihood is that the possibilities are that he'll go to the Silver Eagle in 5 weeks' time, I think it is, up there in Sydney, and then on to the Golden Eagle. But we'll just see how he pulls up. We'll let the horse tell us.
$7.5 million race, the Golden Eagle. What's it like when you've got that written on the whiteboard at home?
you don't like to think about it because it would change my life, I can tell you that much. So just hope that we're good enough when it comes to that time. And we'll keep the horse in the best health we can and we'll see if he can do the rest.
I know you've always had a big opinion of this horse, and your father's trained some great gallopers over the years, but is this now the horse that you think is the best that you put a saddle on?
Well, yeah, I've said it about a couple, but they just keep on popping up. We're having such a great time.
Well, we just lost you there, Scott. Are you there?
Hell of a Street was just brilliant to us and horses like that, and we always say that we've got one good one coming through and then you've got another good one and, oh, this is my best or this is my next best. To date, I would have to say that he's the most promising, yes.
What do you think's his best distance?
Look, I don't know yet. I would have always thought 7 furlongs would have been right up his alley. You know, he looked, when he was here in Tassie, he'd always hit the front and sort of just coast a little bit. So you never really got a true read. You just seemed to just get to them too easy and then just, you know, put the tools down. So it's really hard for us to say, but we would have liked to think the 1400 was his best trip, and let's hope 1500 for our sake.
It's quite remarkable to have Mystic Journey and now the Inevitable, these two horses down in Tassie that are dominating around Australia. Do you have a bit of a chuckle with Adam Trinder?
I will when we catch up, no doubt. So it's just an incredible thing. yeah, just an incredible thing to think you've got two horses of this calibre out of Tasmania at the moment. It's just fantastic. It's great for, you know, for our state down here to showcase that, you know, we've got great trainers and great owners and great horses down here. So we can match it with anyone in Australia, and let's hope the world.
On that performance, would you like to have another meeting with Mystic Journey in the future?
No, I'd like to steer clear. So, yeah, but I'd like to think that they're both completely different horses going different places. But maybe we, the All-Star Mile next year, we might meet up, never know. So.
Well, on the long lunch on Friday, you told the story about how you had a big win at the Moonee Valley, and then you went to the casino and parlayed that in. Did you hit the casino on Saturday night?
No, mate. No, I hit the Virgin Lounge once to get home. So, so that was about it. We flew home on Saturday night. Got the kids and 70 horses back here. So, no rest for the wicked.
Yeah. You took all your chips home with you, and there's plenty more coming your way as well, mate. Congratulations. Super win on Saturday with the Inevitable.
Good on you, mate. Thanks very much for having me on again.
Dylan Mai tries to slip away. 3-0 in front from Kiyomichi. But Libertini, she's still on the bridle. Berry just starts to nudge away now at the filly Libertini. And she gives chase now to Villamai. Villamai being tackled by Libertini. Letterpour goes to third. We're going to race on. Coming back, Villamai. Libertini and Villamai. Nose and nose. She's going to win Libertini. But boy, she had to earn it. Libertini just beat Villamai in the Furious.
Well, it wasn't as dominant as what most punters had expected, especially those who took the $1.18. But Libertini knows how to win, and it was a gutsy performance on Saturday in fast time. Anthony Cummings is the trainer of Libertini. Good day for Anthony, because Baller was super impressive on Saturday as well, and he joins me on Racing Pulse this morning. Morning, Anthony.
Morning, how are you?
I'm very well. How did Libertini pull up from that? She knew she had a fight on Saturday.
Yeah, tough run, but she put up really well. Really enjoys the pressure of racing and work and the rest of it. Came home once again after the first run, left it being clean, and she's bright and well again this morning.
Gee, it was a pretty disappointing track on Saturday, very leaderish, which probably didn't give Libertini the opportunity to put a margin on her opposition. What was your initial reaction with the short margin, and then when you've gone back and had a look at the times and dissected it, how did you think she performed on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the wind, I think the track itself was very good. The surface was fine. I think that the wind sort of played a bit tricks a bit with the way some of the races unfolded. And then you've got races that were run sort of fairly steadily in the first part that made it tough for the back markers in any case. So, you know, in watching her race, I thought sort of as I went past the half mile that we're probably a length too far off given how comfortably the leader was running. And that sort of turned out to be fairly accurate, I think. Had she been a length closer at that point, I think she wins, you know, fairly comfortably. I thought she was always going to win from the furlong home, even though the second horse kicked back quite strongly. Just knowing Libertini and what she's like, you know, she did what was expected.
What do you do with her now, Anthony? You've got the two paths, and it was a great bit of banter between you and Jerry post-race on Sky Racing, debating live on air whether you're going to go to the Everest or not, or continue through the Princess Series. What's your gut feel about where she is best suited?
Oh, well, I mean, certainly the original plan is what we're going to stick to for the first three races. If there's going to be any variation, it'll come after the next run. And then only as a result of what she shows us that day. Her first up run sort of speaks for itself and running close to track record time. Saturday's races were a different kettle of fish altogether for all horses. And it was difficult, unless you're a dead set leader, to show off as some of those horses did. But once again, in the most part, of reasonably slow early sectionals and a strong wind making it difficult for the back markers to pick up. So, as I say, we'll stick to the Phillies race in 2 weeks' time. She'll go there, and then we'll start to make some judgments after that. I think, Jerry's not far off the money that the greater likelihood is that she continues on to the fight stakes. But, you know, you never say never.
Is she too brilliant for a mile, or you're confident that she'll run a really strong mile?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Is she better suited the further she gets out, do you think?
Well, there's a chance, that's true. you know, given that she's got a very high cruising speed and she's got a hell of a good kick, if she can sort of be held together for longer and at a speed that she's very, very comfortable at, you'd imagine she'll kick better again, I would think. So, if that's the case, it's going to make it pretty tough to get past her.
Gee, she's got such a boom on her now, and that's all due to what she's done on the track. How good do you think she could become? And is she just doing this on raw ability and she's yet to really get into herself and produce what could be the best period of her career as she gets older?
Well, I think to her, certainly the best for her is to come. That she is still learning a craft, and part of that was what happened on Saturday. Mm. Tommy said that when she straightened up and got hit with the wing, that she lost focus for a little bit, and it wasn't until the second horse came out and bumped her that she really sort of got back into the fight and sort of went after the lead of the time. So, I think there is certainly some truth in what you say, that she's still learning, that there are some aspects of her racecraft that need some polish. Saturday will go a long way towards having sort of done some of that, but certainly I still believe the best is in front of her.
Even though you're going to wait until you get through the next race, has there been any phone conversations with James Herron, who's got the sole slot left for the Everest?
There was a brief chat a while ago, but nothing recent. In James's position, I'd be sort of sitting back and watching all the races. He doesn't have to make a decision for a couple of 3 weeks yet, and probably not until the Premier Stakes, I'd say. Mm. So I'd be surprised if there's any more than rush along to see what happens between now and then.
We got a good guide on the Everest with the Concord on Saturday. It was a hot race. Do you think that Libertini? Are you confident that she can beat the likes of Redzel, Pirata, and those that she'd meet?
Well, she's a very good horse, and she's proven that at set weights a few times now, and there'd be little doubt that she would be competitive. But whether she needs that pressure right now and miss out on a Group 1 for her record, these other guys have all got their Group 1s on their record, and she's in good form right now, and she doesn't have that. So, in terms of my job as a trainer and a filly like that and the pedigree that she has and the promise that she's shown, part of my sort of purpose is to make sure that she has a Group 1 next to her name, as she's entitled to. You can't take that lightly. And while there's a fair bit of money in the Everest, that's there every year. And the fight stakes is there once in a lifetime.
Still planning to bring it to Melbourne?
Well, the plan had been after the flight stakes to sit down and have a talk about Melbourne and see if we did. And if we were going to go in that direction, it would be for the Coolmore. At this stage, that's still there as one of the options, but it would be the only option for her in Melbourne if we go.
Gee, it was a good day. Baller was certainly impressive, winning on Saturday as well. And there had been some talk about trying to get him in the Everest. Is that a step too far, or do you think he's got that type of ability?
Oh, I think he does. He's a pretty clever horse. We haven't seen the best of him yet either, I don't think. There was a glimpse of it there on Saturday, but he's still above his fifth race weight. He'd lost 10 kilos in the second run. I think he's probably got another 5 kilos to go before I think he's sort of truly fit. He's going to back up into the fair marks. And if he gets there and runs to where I expect, he'll probably make his way to Melbourne, run with Scilarici, and then try and back up from that into the Everest the week after.
How would he go with the travel? Scilarici into the Everest a week between?
Yeah, I mean, that's the real issue for that program, and it's a complication. But I think for him coming back here and sort of coming home to settle in not a strange place, I think it's a far easier thing for a Sydney horse to come back and do that than for a Melbourne horse to sort of leave home, go to strange surroundings, try to settle in a short space of time, then live up to that pressure, within a few days. I think that's a hard task. I think it's a much simpler for a Sydney horse to go there and do that.
Gee, you've got a good stable at the moment, Anthony. We're looking forward to seeing Prince Farwaz make his spring return on Saturday. How's he going?
Yeah, really good. Good gallop on Saturday with Mizzy. She runs on Saturday as well in the Scirocco. And, both horses did the right sort of work to be on song for next week.
What are we expecting first up from the Prince?
Oh, he'll run very well. He doesn't know how not to. So he's going to run a good race. at 1200, he's going to be subject to the race shape, you know, depending on the speeds and, you know, where they sort of drop anchor or if they do, those sorts of things can change his finishing position, but he'll still be amongst the best finishers in the race. But that'll sort of have him in the right shape to go to the Golden Rose 2 weeks after, and then on to the Corkill Guineas from there.
Have you put Libertini and Prince Farwaz together? Are they two different types of horses? Who do you think is the best three-year-old?
They've worked together probably 20 times, both this preparation and last. She always beats him home, but he only goes as fast as he wants to. So the most I think she finished in front of him is about, oh, no, a neck or half length. Mm. He only ever works as fast as the horse with him.
You've got designs on the Cox Plate as well with Prince Farwaz, if things go
Absolutely.
To plan?
Yep, if things go to plan, he'll be there that day. As long as there aren't too many imports there.
Well, there could be three or four. Not happy about the imports?
No, I don't mind. So long as there's room for a three-year-old, I'm a happy man.
I think there'll always be room for a good three-year-old, especially if you can win the guineas. Anthony, yeah. Well done, mate. The stable's absolutely flying. We're looking forward to seeing Prince Farwaz on the weekend and following the banter between you and Jerry to see who wins out, read the Everest.
Righto.
Don't forget, you can tune in every morning from 8:30.